They once asked a great man, what is the secret of greatness? And what is the secret of success? And they said, success starts when a man takes responsibility. 2 Peter 1 verse 10. Shall we read what is there? Make what? So when you're called and elected, whose responsibility is it to maintain it, not to lose it? God? What does it say here? Give diligence. And the Bible says the hand of the diligent will rule. Give all diligence. That is, put every effort to make sure that your calling and election is in place. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 5. Read what is there. Whose responsibility is it to make full proof of the ministry? You. Now what Paul is saying is, prove that you are not mistakenly chosen. See, the scriptures are filled with a lot of wisdom. And we're all leaders here. The Bible tells us how that when God created man, God was pleased. Over time, it is in Genesis, the Bible said, regretted God that he made man. Hello? God chose Solomon. It wasn't David that chose Solomon. The time came, it pained God because Solomon's heart had turned away from God. And we saw the consequence. Then again we see King Saul. And God told Samuel, my spirit has departed from him. Now does it mean God hated Saul? No. What it meant was that office was no more fit to hold him, otherwise it would destroy him. The Bible says as long as he remained there, there came a strange spirit troubling him. You see, leadership can be vested on you and it can be removed. The other said, there is no time for slow feet in leadership. Your value as a person is your contribution. Anywhere you find yourself, your value is your what? Your contribution. And leadership is an opportunity that is created so you can have the time and chance to give your value. If you're still with me, say amen. Life is all about value. Contribution. How much you contribute has a lot to do with how much you receive. Even money is about value. You're contributing, or the need you're meeting is what determines what you're receiving. Are you getting what I'm saying at all? The need you're meeting. Not the capital you have to start business. I mean the one that you are meeting. The identified problem you want to solve in humanity is what determines your turnover financially. Not your capital. Are you with me? Now, there are those who sell cream, alright? And they sell manner of creams, and nobody goes to their shop because they just want to sell cream. Another man comes around the same market and finds out that there are so many fakes and makes up his mind to give original. I mean, he's not going to sell anything less than standard. Give him time. Both of them are selling creams. This one is after the money. I sell cream. I just want to make sure I'm doing something to survive. So he's selling what moves. You understand? That's what men do. They are not concerned about quality. They are concerned about the market that's moving. And that's why they end up as traders. Another man comes into the same market. I'm not just interested in what is moving. I'm interested in giving satisfaction. Give them time. No matter how big this one is, that is selling what is moving. Over time, you'll be smaller, by far smaller, than the man that is giving satisfaction. The more the people patronize him and find that he's giving satisfaction, his value will go up. He might start begging them to come. But the time will come, he will be the one putting any price and they will pay because they know that this is the place you find originality. So money is about the value you're meeting. That's what the Bible says, in all labor there is profit. But the issue is, not every labor have the same capacity of profit. Hello? As a life is all about what you're contributing. And the earlier you begin to focus your mind on contributing positively, spiritually, with your personality and love for God, the better for your future. Because most of the things God is going to bring around you comes through the hands of men. Now look at me. I told you yesterday, I said, that everything God will have you do is for your benefit. I said most of the things God will do in your life and around you will come from the hands of what? Men. Not strangers. But those you've positively impacted. And also write this down. You might not understand it or believe it, but one day you'll be forced to. Your greatest reward will never come from your labor but gratitude. No man will give you 10 million naira as salary except you're contributing something of that capacity. But one gratitude from your impact can give you 10 times that money as a thank you. You hear what I said? One gratitude can give you 10 times that amount. As thank you. One impact. You might impact so many and nobody remembers you, but the day one turns back to remember you. Not because we are looking for the remembrance, but it's the principle of life. It might not even be to you, but your lineage wants to benefit from that impact. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are stories where somebody was probably during the military era in the army and helped someone whom he didn't even remember. Retired and went to the village, and one day this guy becomes somebody in the aviation industry, a personality. And here comes the grandchild or the son of so-and-so military man now in the village. He needs something. He's not getting visa or anything. And for some reason, he finds himself around the aviation industry, being interviewed, and the next thing somebody is asking him, this name sounds familiar. Is your dad a military man? Say, no, that's my grandfather. Is he visa? So and so, is he a star? There's no need. Everything is done. Bah, 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 go. When you get to tell your father that so and so present, and you're wondering, say, well, your father is only here today. And then you're wondering, but how? He could help somebody get here and he's still in the village? That is impact. And that's what Christian leadership gives you the opportunity to do with your life. That's what Proverbs tells you. He says the memory of the just is blessed. Now when he says the memory of the just, he's not saying the mind for reading and remembering. It means the remembrance of the contribution of a just man is a blessing. at the thought of Him, a blessing goes with it. Was it 2 years ago they complained that they bought papaya or a plane? Right? The men that bought him the plane, were they complaining? They bought Papa Dobe a plane, they complained, and they told Papa Dobe, let them complain, we'll buy more. Why? Because we can see the difference our life is taking. I told you, I said, principles of success are available, but they are too common that people take them cheaply. They take them cheaply. Because you've lived in a world where they tell you, get as much as you can get. Now, what makes America, America today? America is a country that shuts down their problems and are solving what problems? No contributor remains under. They become leaders. Why? Responsibility is what takes you up. Did you hear what I said? So everywhere you find a man contributing, there you find a leader that's going somewhere. That was some of you. It didn't take time before you came to where you are. And somebody saying, I thought being a dish, you have to go to... No, it's about contribution. God said, I searched for a man that would go for me and found none. It's not about your ability. It's your availability to God. An American evangelist, Charles Spurgeon, that was a cobbler. You know what a cobbler is? A shoemaker. And he went everywhere producing shoes and repairing shoes. That was his job. And he was good at it. People knew him for that. He was very good at it, but he was a Christian brother. And one of those days, he was coming from a vigil, a prayer vigil, with another friend of his, a brother in church. And as we're coming from where an evangelist had ministered and they took time to pray, it was a prayer meeting, the man said something that changed his life forever. He said, there is no telling how far God can take a man that says yes to Him. He said, you can't tell how far God is going to make him. He said, for months, that word kept taunting him. That means, if I remove the limits to say yes from God, God can make me anything. And guess what happened? The day he made up his mind to give God a trial, he became the fourth American preacher, not only to break the whole of America, but even the Queen of England had to listen to him. That's impact. Hello? That's what? Impact. You see, let me give you another thought. I want you to know that no man is indispensable. You know what I mean? God can do without any man. You are not too important that God cannot do without you. Is your availability that makes Him make you into what He has planned. Are you with me? One of the reasons people don't like to take leadership responsibilities is the feeling of inadequacy. Like some of you are supposed to be selling that by now. You cannot afford to remain in church and be just a committed brother. And no, you're too important for that. If you know yourself. You know, many years ago, this was one of the words that changed me. Someone wrote, he said, having heard the gospel of Christ that blessed you is a sin to be in the same place and be quiet. I heard it a long time ago. He said, it's a sin. I said, the reason why people don't like to take responsibilities is the feeling of inadequacy. Now, what do I mean by that? What do I know? I cannot preach. I don't know the Bible. There are people who know much of the Bible, and then the Bible says the letter kills. It's not the quoting of the scripture that changes a man. Hello? I long discovered that. I wrote one time, I think that is still the philosophy I had to guide my life with. That's why I pray. That's why when people say you preach a beautiful sermon, I'm looking at you, beautiful sermon. I don't want to preach a beautiful sermon. I want to preach an impactful sermon. I'm not carried away by how you feel when you listen. I'm concerned about what is the result of what I just said in your life. Your actions is what I'm looking at. That's what tells me whether I'm impacting you or not. When I'm not there, and what I've said is controlling your actions, then I know that this is impactful. No man has the capacity to change a man. Much words does not change a man, except the words breathed upon by the Holy Ghost. So it's not because you know much. Are you here? That is why sometimes the most impactful meetings are the ones you didn't even know what to say. And you just stood there and like, God, I don't know what to say, but I've been praying, you didn't talk. Okay, just talk. And you were true with service. You failed to say something stupid. I mean, you were trying to coordinate yourself, and the next thing you're seeing results, and you're wondering. And you say, Pastor, you blessed my life. Oh, you did this, and you're wondering. I ain't get what I'm saying at all. Let me show you something. Jeremiah chapter 1. So you see, you're not the first. And why you don't have an excuse? Are you with me? See, God is not looking for my perfection. He's looking for my availability. He's the one perfecting me. Okay, write this down. John 15, verse 1 to 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, from verse 17 to 20. Hello? Okay, Jeremiah chapter 1, from verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin. So he was a Benjamite, the last son of Jacob. That was the tribe he was from. Verse 2. So whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Verse 3. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Are you seeing this? These two kings. That is, his ministry has spanned through two kings. As a prophet, that's just trying to let you know. Praise the Lord. Unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. That is three kings. The guy lived long. Even if you read, those kings didn't live on the throne for so long. Unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. That is, he was a prophet still prophesying when Israel was totally burnt out and all Israel lost their place for the next 400 years. Praise the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, what is that? Before what? I found thee in the belly, I knew thee. So all your feeling of incapacitation and the place you think you are good at yourself, God said, before you were formed, I knew you. You know what I mean? The moment fertilization took place, you already will know. You know, fertilization takes place before formation. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I what? And ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. If this was a man that was not called to one country, to the nations. Listen to me. In life changes, we have ministers. But it is a ministry. God has called every one of our sons into ministry. As long as you're a life changer, you are a preacher. Not every one of us are going to mount the podium as pastors of churches, but every one of us are going to be leaders of our lives in different strata. Why? It's what God said. You are a life changer. Never forget that name. When you say, I'm a life changer, what does it mean? It means you have a responsibility to change life. You're not a life haver. You're a life changer. The name God gave us, we didn't coin it out of nothing. He gave it. It's just like our welcome song. You use it here, don't you? He gave the name. He gave everything. Because He knew you were coming in the picture to change lives. In Obadiah, just one book of the Bible, the Old Testament, verse 20, it says, saviors shall come out of Zion, and you are one. Now listen to me. Some of the things you see as habits that you think are limitations will live your life as you walk within. I'm telling you, the moment you start speaking for God, you begin to see ability coming into you to become better. Every one of us were not like this. I used to be very shy. Remove Pastor Martins. I mean, very shy, and it's been there. Even as a person, to get into a discussion can be difficult sometimes. And that's why I learned to stay in God's presence every day. So that at every time I face men, the Martins part is away. It's anointing that is before. So with that, I can talk boldly because now I'm full of the Holy Ghost. That's why I have to be with God. Hello? So it's natural. The feeling of inadequacy. And at that point, I'm going to talk about it later. After this, is the lie that if you go or yield to God, surely happens to young folks, that God will use you beyond what you want. It's going to take too much from me. That's why a lot of people fear to serve God. Yeah, God just, if I follow Him now, all the fun I catch. The question is, all the so-called fun you are catching, did your fathers catch them? If he's drinking and smoking, look at where it ended your father. Take out time to ask them the things that you are thinking you want to catch on the phone. There is no generation that didn't catch it. There are the things the elders will call these foolish things we did, and all these young people know one thing. That's the phone you want to catch. When you want to catch phone, think about what your generation will learn from it. If it is something that you can tell your children, this is the phone we caught. And they will, when they hear the wisdom advice, whether they will still look at you like the man they should follow. That's the question you should ask yourself. Hello? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, by what? Now, this one, that you've not even seen the world. Do you understand what I mean? And already, God is telling that I already have prepared you for it. And there's a reason he's talking to this young man, because he was young. See the next thing. And I ordained thee a prophet unto nations, verse 6. As long as you're a life changer, this is one of our scriptures God gave us, so you're involved. And I know there is nobody right now that is feeling out of place that I'm talking. Am I right or wrong? I know, because the Spirit of God doesn't joke. He was ready for you before you came. See, I'm vital. They said, I, please read, want to go. Ah, Lord God! What is this exclamation mark? It was not a small statement. Behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. I know nothing. Remember I said we talked about Nepios, Technon? The guy was already reminding God, hold on first. I'm just a child. He was a teenager. And yet God was telling a teenager, you're going to touch the whole world. He said, wait, speaking is even a problem. You know, that was what Moses stood before God and said. He said, hey, send somebody else. By the time God was through giving him so many miraculous signs, he didn't know how to argue again. He said, God, send somebody else. Can't you see? I'm even doing it. Talk. And then God looked at him and the Bible said, God frowned at him and said, who made the tongue? Who made the dumb? The guy wouldn't listen. And you know something? That cost him his ministry. He lost his miracle because he wanted to convince God that he wouldn't speak. And God said, this kind of assignment, you must go. But since you will not talk, your brother will talk for you. By the time his brother became spokesman, now he has converted his tongue to his brother. The time he now had to talk, yet the brother could not now talk. Because he was angry, he wanted to talk. God said, speak to the rock. By the time the word was not coming out, that's a consequence of disqualifying yourself. You lose destiny. That's a cost. You do everything with your life, and you still will feel inadequate. You know something is missing. You will look for it everywhere else. You won't find it. Did you understand? Now, I didn't say God is going to punish you, so don't mistake what I'm saying. Are you getting me? Okay. It says, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Verse 7. Read with me, want to go. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall what? He says, you will go. Listen to me. There are people who will never be changed around you from your pastor's voice. There are people who will never be changed from watching TV or radio or any other form of communication of the gospel. Their salvation is in your hands. If you don't reach them, and you must understand this, every man's salvation is tied to another man. If you don't take your place, that life is eternally lost. A glory is lost from your head. Is that important? And many times, those are the people that are around you. Especially the ones you think that if I talk to, will they listen to me? They're actually the ones that you're supposed to talk to. Those ones you say, yeah, let me go, they'll listen. See how they're frustrating you. Because those are not the real people. There's some of your business colleagues that sitting down with them, and just say, can we pray? Is this where the salvation of their life begins? And every day you're feeling incompetent and closer to destruction, that person is going. And listen to me. Every man who's not saved has a grace limit. There's a day of destruction. I don't mean judgment day, that's rapture or whatever. I mean day of death. Because the wages of sin is death. Are you getting what I'm saying? He has a grace limit. There are people around you right now that God has put around you whose grace limit is few days away. Sometimes few weeks away. Have you ever wondered why some people, of course they're not saved, but they look very calm and all of a sudden something strange happens and they're the victims. sometimes you are the one to save them that didn't do anything about it. Are you getting what I'm saying? You must understand these things. You know, the first time I got to notice these things, when I see obituary on campus, I used to be afraid. I used to be so much afraid. Anytime I just see obituary of a student, that night I would cry. I said, oh God, I don't think I've preached enough. What if this one was part of the souls that was supposed to be in my crown? And now he's lost. I was not a pastor. But I understood something. That there are lives that are tied to my presence in a place. That's why I love to obey God every time, because I don't know who will hear the voice. Look at some of the healings we've gotten from our radio program. I don't even know some of them officially. They don't even know who prayed for them. Are you getting seen at all? I didn't even know some of them. And then all I'm remembering is, son, you will reach a larger audience for me if you go on this wave. And I'm like, Lord, what time is it start now? And then usually you stay months before you can get your first call. And 2 weeks we're getting calls. I listened to your program, this bone that was here went awry. And that is a station that people don't really listen to. They say, go to this one. And as the calls come, sometimes I'm just weeping. That means there were people at this time that were in my name. In these locations, and I needed to take responsibility. Tomorrow, when some of them get to heaven, because there must be a call to salvation before the program ends. When they get to heaven, and I'm there receiving rewards, and all of us that are partners financially for those programs, because the soul gets healed, the preacher and the giver receive the reward. Hello? Next thing that happens, you're seeing somebody come to thank you. And you're like, sorry? We've never met while we're here on earth. He said, we never met, but we met because meeting you is what brought me here. The programs we're giving for, when we get to heaven, everybody's going to know, because it's a world where there is no hidden knowledge. Somebody will come and meet you. Sister Maka, thank you. I never came into church, but you see that microphone you bought. I was always listening to the message of your pastor and I got saved. That's where it's going to be. Then also, when you look from heaven into hell, when you see some souls there, you will know that these are the ones I should have reached, that my carelessness. And then when you look where you are standing, you see all the crowns you didn't get because you were careless. That's where it's going to be. I mean, at that time, some people wouldn't want to look down. Because the sorrowing of men would touch your heart. Because you were careless. Did you hear what I said? I said, did you hear what I said? Listen to me. It's a world of no sorrowing, or tears, or pain. But one thing you must understand about eternity is that there is no place for correction. Every knowledge discovered that brings satisfaction stays with you eternally. You know what I mean? For example, you failed an exam and you knew you should have read, and for some reason you gave yourself excuses. There will be hope. Are you writing a new one? Are you getting what I'm saying? That, there is hope for me to pass, is there. But there's a consciousness that you lost something. Time. Now, this one is going to be eternal. What you're doing today is how your eternity is going to be. At that time, you can't go back to collect anything. You will live with that knowledge for eternity. You're not growing old. You're not growing young. You're just like this. You know what I mean? 1,000 years will pass. You see somebody wallowing in hell. And you know that for 1,000 years, you kept that man there. You know what I'm saying? The same way, when you pass by some man, choose you come. Walk on opposite direction and pass yourselves. Now, three of us are passing by, right? Now, I'm the fourth person. These two people pass by. I'll tell you what I want to say. We are three. This guy was supposed to be warned by me. But I didn't take responsibility. Somebody else warned him. When we passed by, I was knowing in my spirit, without having been told, this was a lost crown. He has become somebody else's crown. That's why we'll be passing by. Realities will be everywhere. You know, when people talk about heaven, sit down. In the realm of the spiritual, there is no hidden knowledge. That's what the Bible says. Though there be prophecy, because prophecy is what exposes the future or the past, secret things that you cannot see with your mind, because the mind is trained to only interpret and see what is now. Only through the gift of prophecy can we see into the future that the mind is limited to. The Bible says, though there be prophecy, it shall stop. The moment the rapture takes. Why? Because in that time, everything is open. There is no time. So because there is no time, there is no past, there is no future. Everything is there. You can literally stand and know the person who is coming from your back by name. You know, if it's genealogy, that you can just know somebody is coming from your back, and you won't be talking to the person, "How are you?" The thoughts of our minds are louder than our speech in the realm of the spirit, because your thoughts are louder in heaven than your words. Hello? That is why when you're used to hearing the voice of God, sometimes you find out that in a minute when your spirit receives information, you find that when you want to say word for word what you heard, it goes into an hour. And so now you're wondering, you mean God communicated an information of 1 hour in 1 second? In a glance, he didn't communicate, he dropped the reality in his fullness in your spirit. You see, that is why serving God with your life now is a ticket to eternal glory. The Bible tells us how that after the 1,000 years reign of Jesus Christ, the devil is going to be totally defeated and all that. If you go to the Universal Foundation Bible School, they are all there. Are you get what I'm saying? And then we are returning to the new heaven and new earth. And here the Bible says we'll reign with Jesus Christ for life. Jerusalem is going to be the center of the world, just like you have Abuja, the capital of Nigeria. Jerusalem is going to be so. The saints are going to be all over the world. And the Bible tells us that not everybody will enter Jerusalem. Hello? Not everybody. And at that time, your movement to any part of the world is not by financial capacity. You see, I want to go to America, I don't have money for a plane. No, there's nothing like that. Your movement and your placement is the value you contributed to the lives of men. The reward of welcome, thou good and faithful servant. He said, he that overcomes to the end. He said, I will give him a stone. He said, and his name will be written on the stone, which no man knoweth. That's your ticket.
The moment you appear and flash it, everybody knows that this is the one. Let him go through. He's big for this capacity. And that's how your honor will be going. So all the people that sit teaching, repent so you won't go to hell. That is class one, though. We are already citizens of heaven. We don't have an issue whether going to hell. We're talking about saving lives. So that the placement on that time will be a glorious one. I can ask them in a rich church. I say, you lived an average life all your life. You never knew what was glorious. Now the word of God has come to you trying to make your life glorious. How long will you live an average life? You still go to heaven? Eternity and still be an average person. And then the worst thing is you not get there and find that you place yourself there. That's the most annoying thing. How do you know the life ahead of you? Listen to the prophecies that come about you. Listen to the prophecies that come to the church, talking to you about who you are as a church. It tells you where you're going, where God has positioned you. If you fall short of it, it's your doing. So those of you who think, no, don't accept God. No, no, you're undoing your future. It's just like when you tell a young man, go to school. Say, no, I don't want to go to school to make money. Don't worry. The day you make the money and find that education was part of what you needed to sustain money, that's when you look back and say, why had I known? I always pray one prayer. God, don't let me learn a lesson when it is too late. It's a prayer I pray with so much tears. That I will never fall into a situation in my life at the time where I cannot retrace my steps. I better make a mistake that will destroy me when I'm still early now than to make it when I cannot say, hey, there is hope to correct it and make changes that men will say he has changed. Am I talking to people here? But the Lord said unto me, saying that I'm a child, but thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Verse 8. Read the next thing. Be not afraid of what? For I am with thee to deliver you, said the Lord. That is, I will confirm you if you go. That's what God is saying. Yours is to respond. Mine is to back you up. Mark 15 from verse 16. Listen to me. Every one of you listening to me here right now, you are supposed to be cell leaders in church. I mean cell leaders. I don't mean assistants, cell leaders. You walk, you meet people, you have neighbors. Stop hiding under shadows. Paul said, when you ought to be teachers, you still have need that men teach you. If I speak it to your shame. He said, because I'm still feeding you with milk when there's need for solid food. The reason why some of you are not experiencing real change is because you're still saying, God, if my situation changed, now's when I will do this. God is looking at you. When you are ready, you will understand. When you are ready, nobody will tell you. You will force it open. Your involvement. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen to me. Your glory is in your value. Did you hear what I said? And he said unto them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be what? Damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Did he say pastors? The man that is a he that believes shall be saved. Right? Now, he said, when you are saved, these are the signs that will follow you. Read them from you want to go. In my name shall they cast out what? No, if you stay inside your room, that demon you go and cast inside your room. Hello? That means Jesus is saying everyone who believes should go out there preaching. And as you go out, if somebody is possessed, it isn't saying you need to have an anointing to deliver. It says if you meet a possessed person and you're preaching, And somebody has to believe because that possession has to go. When you say, name of Jesus, the demon will check out. It didn't say whether the person fall or not. It didn't say how you say it, whether you shout or you say it gently. It just said, cast the devil out and it will go. So when you're there, all you need to do is not, oh God, glorify your name. Oh God, I bind the demon into the abyss. No, no, no. Just you devil of darkness, I cast you out. Even sometimes when you're trying to talk to someone, and then the person is beginning to be distracted, that's a demon. Wants to argue with you, that's a demon. Under your breath, address us with the Satan, I rebuke you and I cast you out of this place. And I command this mind to be attentive now. And watch what will happen. Are you here? It's not, oh, you see, I'm trying to preach now. It's not listening. No, it's a demon. Just cast the thing out gently. It will respond. If this is the person, if you can get the person to reason along with you for prayers, say, in the name of Jesus. Now, that is how you will see your first deliverance. You hear what I say? Not, I think this demon. When you come and meet my pastor, it's not like that. Jesus said, if you believe, you will cast out devils. I remember the first time we came and taught that. One of your sons, right? Young boy went and cast out the devil. Why did the devil say, you are not Pastor Matthias? The moment he believed and dared, it worked. Hello? He says, if you believe in Jesus, you will cast out. You will speak with you. Come on, blast those tongues right now. Hallelujah. Did he say it must be your gift first? No. He said you, when the Holy Ghost comes into you, you pray in tongues. And if you don't pray in tongues here, you'll pray in tongues tonight. Because it's not the Holy Ghost that's stopping you, it's you that's stopping you. Ask him into you and start praying. Faith, if you believe, you will what? It's your right. Next verse. They shall what? Who is he talking to? Your Pastor Martins? Look, you have to have been in Christ for 15 years. Is that what he's saying? No, you see, it's only for the spiritually mature Christians that pray 5 hours in tongues and can do miraculous signs. They're the ones that can pick up serpents. Is that what he said? Who did he say will pick up serpents? As long as you're born again, Jesus said, one of your capacity, and you are saying, I don't know much. He said, you, inside you, you will pick up snakes. I hope something is entering you right now. This is your identity as a believer. That's what I'm showing you. He said, these are the criteria to know a believer. The moment he says, I give my life to Jesus Christ today. Jesus said, you want to know that he's giving his life to you? It's not by their fruit when he said, I smoke no more. No, Jesus never said all those ones. He said, he that believes and is saved is fine to know. Number one, he will cast out devils. So when you say you are born again, follow me. Are you sure you believe what that person says? He says, see that person, go and lay hands and cast out a devil. That's the thing. The next year, he said, okay, man, we know. You see a snake, you pick it up and throw it out. There's a snake in your house. And everybody's coming with cutlass and stick. Even after the thing has run away, you saw it. So go near the cutting where you saw it, there's the blood of Jesus. They've killed it in your very presence. So now close the cutting, you're spraying and spraying. For 3 days, you're still spraying. But they've killed the snake and I'm saying, maybe lay egg, another one see the day. If then you are praying at night, every imaginary snake and real snake in the name of Jesus, fire burn. He said you will pick it up. You know, many years ago, Pastor Jeff Anthony Amaha was still in school, came to visit me in my house, we were heading somewhere. And then I was on shorts and sandals. He was on trousers and sandals. And then we heard somebody say, "See snake, oh, black snake." And the moment they pointed it and we saw it, I said, "Tony, go this way." And jumped. The thing narrowly escaped my feet. I said, "No," I went into the bush. Then when we were through, he said, "Presido, what was that?" He said, "I was looking for at least stone. People that were going to kill snake were carrying stick from afar. You, they use ordinary leg." I said, "You will tread upon serpents and scorpions, and it shall by no means hurt you." He said, "Was that where your head is?" I said, "It has stayed inside me, and I'm not carrying it out." A week after I gave my life to Christ, in secondary school, I killed a snake on bare feet. I mean, the whole school was saying, "Green snake, green snake, green snake." All the girls have gathered like psychos. And the snake is like, "Everybody go this way. These stones and sticks." So I heard them shouting and saw the whole crowd. And my friends didn't believe that I was born again at that time. Even though I was ready, but my real friends that we used to talk some kind of talk knew that the show from there really changed. Because when they changed, I said, "It's time to shoot them." I said, I called on them, distracted this way, and came from the back on my bare shoe and smashed the head. The snake didn't even move a bit. My friend dragged me like this. When they say, "Champion," he just dragged me to one corner. He said, "What kind of stunt was that? Now I know you're born again." So what thought he died? This thing is real. One thing I love the word of God for, if God said this is who I am, from that minute, that's how I see myself. I'm not trying to believe. I start acting it. Let's finish. They shall drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. Alamundo. Wait. If they shall drink any deadly thing. Let me ask you a question. If. Is it when it happens or if you choose? The way it sounds there. If they shall drink. If you say when they shall drink, that means by accident. If they shall drink. Let me ask you a question. There was no water anywhere but kerosene. And you were dying of thirst. And the only liquid was kerosene. And you are not sure of water from anywhere. What would that kerosene become to you? How many of you are sure you drink it? Hello? Now you're laughing. You know, I asked a question. The first time the Holy Ghost asked me about snake, I was reminding me of a very small one. Then he said, "Let me show you the kind of snake." I saw a big python and I started laughing. I said, "You mean I'll go and pick this kind of one?" He said, "But that's what I said. Pick this snake!" He said, "What did Moses pick?" And he didn't have the Holy Ghost. Hello? So when I said kerosene, what did I not say acid that looks like water? And you're holding it, Father, you're trying to see it as water. You're not remembering that man, the last TV you saw that they poured acid, it took the whole face to their baby. Say, "Lord, I believe." Leave me alone. "Pastor, don't worry, my face never reached there." Praise the Lord. He says, "They shall what? Lay hands on the sick." And what will happen? Wait a minute. Did he say they shall be healed? What did he say will happen? What is recovery? State of perfection. As though it never happened before. That's what Jesus said your hands have the capacity to do. Now many of your neighbors are sick and you say, "Oh God, send somebody, oh God, may God heal you." You go there and say, "Well, can you believe my hands? I'm a believer. If I lay hands on you," by the time you're talking like that, the angels to you will make it happen. Because they want you to know who you are. So I'm going to lay hands on you right now, and your head is telling you that, don't go and disgrace yourself. Say, devil, I'm not here to disgrace myself. I'm acting the word. It's God that is at stake here, not me. As I lay hands on you, I'm going to pray for you. You'll be healed right now, and you will stand up from here. As a father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because if I lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. And now this is a sick person. I lay my hands on you now, and I come to the word. I command you healed and recovered. You address the thing and tell you recover from it now. And tell the person, check yourself. Let your head say one thing. Act the word against how you feel. Then watch if the word will not prevail against how you feel. Sit here. They shall recover. 19. Jesus finished talking, right? So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. 20. And what? No, they stayed back. They went to their room and stayed back. They went forth. How? And preached everywhere. Everywhere means every man went to his own area. And got busy with his souls. As they were preaching, see what happened. What was happening behind? The Lord walking with them. Was that not what he told Jeremiah? He said, don't be afraid. I'll be with you to confirm you. I'll confirm you. That is, whatever you're telling them at that point, I'll confirm some of you. You've never seen when you say, see, I'm going to pray for you. Money will come today. Invite somebody and they're telling you no money. Say, okay, I'll give you money today, but I'm going to pray for you before you come. That this week, your business will change. And then when you're saying it, say it as a believer. As the Father has spoken, as your son, your Huios, the one that is representing you now. So I declare in the name of Jesus that I've said is honored. And watch if the guy will not come on Saturday to tell you that let's go to church together on Sunday. It says in Acts 1:8, you receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you. You become proof producers. That is, when you have received the Holy Ghost, your words will begin to bring results. It's not about how you feel. It's how you respond. Are you still here? Come and say, I'm responding rightly. And I will know because I will see number of cells that have started after now. It says, confirming the word with what? Did you see that? The Holy Ghost went to them and they began to have results. These were common men, fishermen, illiterates, marketers. There was, look at, if you read Acts chapter 4, by the time two of them that raised a crippled man spoke before the learned men, they said, child, they took note that they were illiterates. But one thing was clear. He could even speak a correct sentence. But as far as he went to preach, God gave a crippled boy walking steps. And then the men who have a Igbo were saying, oh no, they were illiterate. They are starting to illiterate. But one thing is sure, these guys have done a miracle that is not amongst men. As long as they went forth, God was confirming it. Some of you here, the capacity to host 20 people in your house that will become prosperous businessmen through yourself is inside you. Tell me, some of you, it's through your involvement that your contract will span. You are looking for opportunities. Oh God, if you can just connect me rightly. Sometimes the people that God has positioned to connect you are there looking for their Messiah. And the connection you needed was your preaching and you didn't know. You know, things around you, they come in disguise pattern. That's why Paul tells you in Hebrews, be careful to entertain strangers. If you for some have entertained angels unawares. That was said, be not weary in well doing, for if you faint not, you will get a reward. Hello? I want to bow your heads. Life is all about value. What are you going to do with your life as a life changer? What are you going to do after now? What are you going to contribute with your time in church? Who are you going to be after now? Haven't heard. Talk to God about it.